This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutin, and with me, Julian Ng and Tan Chung Han. With the top business stories of the day, we have Credit Suisse, San Miguel and Tesla in our crosshairs this morning. Let's begin with Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse Group has been taken aback by apparently a surprise tax evasion and money laundering investigation, an investigation that spans five countries from Australia to the UK. So far, it's been reported that two individuals have been arrested by Dutch authorities who have seized gold bars, paintings and jewellery.
Yeah, so this news development once again highlights Credit Suisse's legacy issues because, you know, this really is not something earth-shattering or groundbreaking, rather. It is somewhat earth-shattering, but not groundbreaking for Credit Suisse because they have been here before. You know, back in 2011, for example, they had to pay 150 million euros to the German government. That's due to a tax evasion dispute. You bring it to 2014, similarly, that was with helping Americans cheat on tax obligations. And then just as recent as October of last year, just October 2016, they had to pay $117 million to the Italian authorities, once again, to resolve a probe linked to tax evasion. So, you know, here we are again, Credit Suisse. It seems like they just cannot shake off these kind of, you know, very, very serious concerns.
What I find really interesting and slightly amusing is the fact that five countries ganged up or puckered against the Swiss authorities, and they had no idea that what hit them. And this investigation was done by those five countries, but also highlights the point that the movement of money around the world is a big problem for authorities, and trying to track this money, prevent money laundering, prevent tax evasion is such a big problem for authorities. Remember the Panama Papers, which were not in itself, for all those listed in there, the papers documented very rich people setting up their offices in tax havens. I mean, that's not illegal per se, but it just highlights that there's money sloshing all over the world trying to escape the tax authorities.
I wonder though, Han, you mentioned the fact that this has happened before, and it's in some sense not surprising that it's happened again. But I'm a little surprised that it's happened again. When a bank, for instance, or any financial institution has been found guilty of some sort of misdemeanor or some crime and has been punished, isn't it incumbent upon those institutions to put in place some sort of reforms that will prevent it from happening again? I mean, you might take out certain individuals, but the system itself needs some sort of tweaking, doesn't it, in order that you don't have a repetition of the problem?
Well, in fact, Credit Suisse has been going about trying to put those safeguards in place. And when you consider their new CEO, Tijen Chiam, he was formerly with AIA, now he's with Credit Suisse. They have been trying to, going about shoring investor confidence, saying that this is a thing of the past. But then when you have these kind of news flow, there goes confidence again, and that could trigger, there are question marks over how this might actually impact Credit Suisse. It is still in the investigation phase. They have to see how it goes, but they have had capital outflows in the past, right? So, will this new development trigger yet another round of capital outflows from Credit Suisse? That'd be a big question.
Yeah, I think the impact would be quite challenging and problematic for Credit Suisse because they have that wealth management pivot and trying to get a lot of wealth management rather than investment banking, which was kind of their forte in the past. Also, Switzerland as a country is reputed to be a hotbed for very attractive tax advantages. So now they are kind of fighting a PR battlefront to shed that kind of image.
And on that note, that's an interesting note because when you go ask the Swiss authorities, they're like, we have no idea what's going on because you got all these other countries who, as Julian said, puckered and went and targeted, Credit Suisse's office or contacted, that's the word that Credit Suisse used, contacted the offices in London, Amsterdam, Paris. Then you got France, Germany, Australia also having criminal investigations. But at the heart of it all, Zurich, they're like, We don't know. And they have not launched a criminal investigation. So it's quite interesting there.
So the thing is that this really also puts forward the what's happening in Malaysia, where we have an international regulatory community investigating 1MDB and so on. I think what's happening in Malaysia is a microcosm of the kind of shenanigans that happen around the world.
Okay, I want to ask you this, Julian. You know, since you have experience in the bank, is this a question of systems or is this a question of people? Is it like individuals going rogue, or is it that the banks do not have enough checks and balances in order to prevent such crimes?
I mean, human greed,
right? Why do you think that they've come up with executive pay conditions where they now limit how much you can pay in terms of bonus? I mean, they're tinkering around with that idea because when you have greed and fear involved, people would just go all out to make the most money that they can. The kind of problems is that 1MDB has shown, it really opens up a can of worms into the practices of banks in Malaysia. But this is really just another day in the banking sector globally. I think that with Trump reversing a lot of the Dodd-Frank rules, this will become a problem again in a few years down the road because bankers will just go crazy about the kind of money they can earn.
I mean, ultimately, the root of this entire problem is just human greed, right? I mean, at the expense of oversimplifying this in a huge global problem here. You know, but just to give
that's
you a number
Buddhistic,
that you can...
very Buddhistic, though.
Say what?
Sorry. But go ahead.
You know, but just to give you a number that you can latch on to, $321 billion US dollars. That's how much banks globally have been fined since the 2008 global financial crisis. 321. Now, there was
I don't know whether it's the size that's very staggering or the fact that they can actually pay that quite easily.
And still move
and still
on,
survive,
right? Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah. You know, but then, you know, $321 billion since 2008. There are many banks involved. It's not just Credit Suisse. So.
Okay. Now to the Philippines. The largest company in the Philippines by sales, San Miguel Corporation, is planning a massive expansion of over $34 billion US dollars in investments, including oil refineries, a steel complex, and an ocean-tide power plant.
So this essentially, what I get it from this, the big theme is that the ASEAN story is a very much chugging along. Chugging, get it, San Miguel? That's terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
That was bad.
It's okay. It's very good.
I tried.
You did.
Yeah.
That's what you do with your beer, but speak for yourself.
Yeah, some of us
Milo,
sip.
Milo ice, Milo ice.
Some of us sip.
Anyways, so yeah, $34 billion. San Miguel, they are predominantly known for their beverage business, but they are a huge conglomerate. They're involved in everything from even Petron. That's another good touch point for us Malaysians. Petron is under San Miguel as well. Energy space. So looks like that $34 billion could be spent in an oil refinery, steel complex, and other energy related deals, and perhaps even another foray into Vietnam in the drink space, right?
Yeah, they had that huge diversification in 2008 out of food and drinks, which I find very interesting because the F&B sector is one of the most desired sectors trying to latch on to the so-called demographic dividend of emerging Asia, including Philippines. So they diversified outwards into back into 2008 into more stable businesses like toll roads and resources. And I suppose this planned $34 billion investment furthers that diversification move that they made back in 2008.
Okay, moving along, as it were, Tesla is racing with its global sales rising some 69% in the first quarter, its best quarter yet, putting the automaker on a path to meet its goal of 50,000 deliveries in the first half of the year.
I mean,
this has got to do with their... Electric cars.
And real quick, just to gauge the level of excitement in this studio on this lovely Monday morning right now, are you guys big fans of the prospects of Tesla? Basically,
too expensive for Malaysians anyway.
Well, but it is in Malaysia apparently. But how about you, Sharad?
Well, I mean, I think anything that addresses our energy issues, and if electricity is, you know, is the way to go in terms of reducing carbon emissions, da da da. Why not? I mean, you know, and I think you need sort of. I know there's a lot of talk about Elon Musk and his personality and such, but why not? If this can move forward, and won't prices come down, Julian? As you know, they
Do you
ramp
think
up
it
production
will in Malaysia.
Well, I don't know about Malaysia.
If you're asking in the context of what the impact is on Malaysia, I don't know. But I'm certainly very excited about the future for cars, especially in the areas of autonomous driving as well as electric cars. I think those hold out a lot of potential for the environment, and not only that, for our lifestyles as well.
Well, you know, when you've got Tesla basically rolling out tens of thousands in a per quarter in the States, and you compare with us, we got our first shipment of 10 Tesla vehicles back in November. I know. It is shocking, Sharad.
You know, yes. I was going to say that we actually had on the grill a representative from Tesla a year or more ago, and he brought the car, and it was quite extraordinary because you looked up into the boot and into the bonnet, and you saw nothing. And, you know, it's a bit of a kind of a trick. You know, it seems.
Yeah, if you zoom out to the broader context, you're looking at your U.S. auto sales this week, that could be a sign of the overall health of the U.S. economy.
Okay, we'll be back with more top business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.